外昆塔之音服务源于聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年7月12日，星期日。我们今天又非常荣幸的邀请到了我们敬爱的阿叔，为我们继续讲述今天的圣典布加瓦坦的早课，敬请聆听。Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna。Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya。
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya。
Hare Krishna. So we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 8, the questions by King Parikshit. And today we are reading from text 18.
所以呢，我们今天继续阅读《圣典波迦瓦坛》第二篇第八章帕尔克希特王提的问题。今天我们开始读的诗节呢是第十八诗节。阿叔。
Nrinam
Nrinam
Sadharana
Sadharana
Dharma
Dharma
Nrinam Sadharano Dharma
Nrinam Sadharano Dharma
Savishesha
Savishesha
Cha
Cha
Yadrisha
Yadrisha
Savisheshascha Yadrisha
Savisheshascha Yadrisha
Shreninam
Shreninam
Rajasinam
Rajasinam
Cha
Cha
Shreninam Rajasinam Cha
Rininam Rajasinam Cha
Dharma
Dharma
Richreshu
Richreshu
Jivatam
Jivatam
Dharma Krichreshu Jivatam
Dharma Krichreshu Jivatam
Nirnam Sadharano Dharma
Nirnam Sadharano Dharma
Savisheshascha Yadrisha
Savisheshascha Yadrisha
Shrininam Rajasinam Cha
Shrininam Rajasinam Cha
Dharma Krishreshu Jivatam
Dharma Krishreshu Jivatam.
Okay. Word for word.
四对字。
Nirinam.
Nirinam. 人类社会的。
Sadharana.
Sadharana. 一般。
Dharma.
Dharma. 宗教。
Savishesha.
Savisheshaha, 特殊的。
Cha,
Cha, 还有。
Yadrishaha,
Yadrishaha, 如样的。
Shreninam,
Shreninam, 那特殊的三个阶层的。
Rajasinam,
Rajasinam, 圣洁的皇族的。
Cha,
Cha,还有
Dharma
Dharma 职责
Krichreshu
Krichreshu 就有苦恼的情况
Jivatam
Jivatam 生物的
Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada
译文和要旨由圣恩 A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada 提供译文， 请解释人类社会共同的宗教是什么？人们在宗教中各自该履行的职责是什么？包括统治阶层在内的社会各阶层是怎么划分的？遇到苦恼之人的宗教原则是什么？要旨：无论一个人是谁，是什么人，人类社会各阶层人士的共同宗教都是做奉爱服务，就连动物都可以为人为至尊主 sorry 就连动物都可以加入为至尊主做奉爱服务的行列。这方面的最佳典范就是圣主 Rama 的非凡奉献者哈努曼。正如我们已经讨论过的，就连土著人和食人生番如果有幸受到了至尊主名副其实的奉献者的指导，都能够为至尊主做奉爱服务。Skanda Purana 中描述了热带森林中的一个猎人，在圣 Narada Muni 的指导下成为了觉悟很高的奉献者。因此每一个生物体都有同等机会为至尊主做奉爱服务。因国家和文化环境不同而产生的宗教显然不是人类共同的宗教。更确切地说，宗教的基本原则是奉爱服务。即使某种宗教派别不承认至尊人格守神的最高地位，其追随者们也要遵守那个宗教派别的宗教领袖所制定的戒律。当然，这样一个宗教派别的领袖永远不是最高的领袖，因为他是经过某种苦修才当上的领袖的。然而，正如我们从主 Krishna 的活动中所看到的，至尊人格守神不需要经过训练才能够成为领袖。每一个人，无论他处在哪一个社会的阶层，哪一个灵性的阶段，从事什么职业，他该履行的职责都是以做奉爱服务为准则。佛家梵歌中说，人只要把自己履行职责的结果当做奉爱服务献给至尊主，就能够达到生命最完美的境界。遵守为至尊主做奉爱服务原则的人永远都不会被置于困境，因此根本就不存在什么苦恼人的宗教。 Apart Dharma， 正如最伟大的权威 Shukadeva Goswami 在这一著作中将要解释的，尽管为至尊主所做的奉爱服务也许形式不同，但除了至尊主做奉爱服务，除了为至尊主做奉爱服务，没有其他的宗教。译文：请解释人类社会共同的宗教是什么？人们在宗教中各自该履行的职责又是什么？包括统治阶层在内的社会各阶层是怎么划分的？遇到苦恼之人的宗教原则是什么？
Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Pashacha Deshatarine Shri Chaitanya Manu Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakaupataru Bhyacha Kripa Sindhu Bhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In the material world, the conditioned soul, because of identifying with the material body, naturally develop all different sorts of obligation, different sorts of duties according to body, place of birth, circumstances. So everybody has a certain set of duties to perform.
在物质世界，受条件限制的灵魂，由于它被 躯体的概念所束缚，所以说呢，他就很自然的会想到自己会要履行各种各样的责任，需要去处理各种各样的职责。
And this is called usually the term, the Sanskrit term used for duty, for obligations that we have to perform is called dharma.
在梵文里面来描述我们需要履行的职责的这个词呢，被称为叫 dharma。
So dharma loosely translates as duty.
所以呢，我们就是很如果是不严谨的去翻译 dharma 这个词呢，把它翻译成了职责。
So if you are a single person, or if you are a married person, if you are a parent, or if you are a teacher, or if you are a common worker, we are a doctor in the hospital. So everybody has a set of obligations, set of duties that they have to perform according to their status, social status, their sex, their position in society.
那么如果你是一个人，是一个结了婚的人，是一个社会工作者，然后呢，是一个公司里面的员工。那无论你是一种什么样的身份中的这个人呢，他都会由于他所处在的这种状况，然后呢，他所处在的这种身份，而要去履行相应的职责。
But usually in materialistic societies, they only care for these external obligations.
但是呢，在物质的社会中呢，人们通常只是关心着去从事这些外在的职责。
Like we have the Chinese Dharma, the way of behaving of a Chinese, more or less chalked out by Confucius and the other great sages in the past.
比如说，我们作为中国人，那我们所要履行的职责的这个理念呢，是植根于在过去的。比如说像孔子或者是儒家的教导的指导之下所要去完成的。
So if you are in a Chinese society, you don't perform those duties that are typical traditionally in Chinese people, then family members look at you in a very strange way, will criticize you, society will criticize you, you feel awkward.
所以如果要是你是一个中国人，但是呢又不按照中国人的传统去履行自己的职责的话，那么就会被家人也好，或者是被国人也好，看成你是一个非常奇怪的人，然后你自己呢也会感到不能够深入其中，不能够融入其中。
So this is typically materialistic, just concepting a set of rules, set of duties according to your place of upbringing, your tradition in your society.
所以说呢，作为一个物质主义者呢，他就是按照自己所生长的环境，自己所在的这个社会，从而呢就搭建起了一系列的需要去履行的职责。
But you have this dharma now because you are born in China, you are connected to a Chinese family, you live in China society, but in the next life you don't know what will be your birth. You may be born in Africa, so you're going to follow Africa duties, dharma.
但是现在呢，比如说我们出生在中国，所以说呢，我们就要按照中国的文化，中国的社会的这种观念和原则来履行我们的职责，履行我们的 dharma。但是呢，在下一生，其实我们并不知道我们是不是会投生在中国，不知道自己会投生在哪儿。也许可能我们会投生在非洲。那如果投生在非洲的话呢，那就必须要按照非洲的他的那个地方的理念去履行职责。
But the fact is that we are human beings. Human beings are different from other species of life.
但事实上呢，是我们是人类。那么人类和其他的各种生物体的物种来比呢，是不一样的。
So we as human beings, we know we have a set of rules that they are different from other species.
所以作为人类呢，我们就知道我们有一系列的这种规则，这种规则是有别于其他的那些生命形式的。
Means as human being, we should be in quest, in search of a better way of living.
也就是说呢，作为人类，我们要去探寻一种更好的生活方式。
That's why in the Vedas there are so many sections describing. Actually, most of the Vedas describes a way of acting in this world that not only will give us satisfaction, but at the same time it elevates us. You become pious and eventually even go be promoted to heaven.
那也就是为什么在伟达经中大部分的内容都在告诉我们以什么样的生活方式能够很心满意足的生活在这个世界，与此同时呢，还能够让自己得到提升，最终呢，能够被提升到天堂。
This is where Dharma really begins.
而这个呢，也是 Dharma 真正开始的地方。
Because we have to be always aware that we being different from other species of life.We are meant to find out what is the purpose of our existence.
因为呢，我们总是要时刻记住，我们和其他的生命形式是不一样的，而且呢，我们要时刻的去探寻我们生命的目标到我们生命的目的到底是什么。
We cannot be satisfied simply by improving our ways of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending.
我们不能够仅仅因为提升了我们的吃、睡、防卫和交配的这些活动而感到心满意足。
Because these are basic animal necessities.
因为这些都是非常基本的动物的需求。
So, to act in the world in order to improve these conditions of life is not really dharma.
所以说呢，为了要提升我们在这个世界上的存在而做出的这些行动，它其实并不是真正的 Dharma。
Dharma begins when we want to understand higher purpose in our existence.
Dharma 是我们开始能够理解我们在存在中的更高的目的。
That's why.The real meaning, the more deeper meaning of Dharma is something like this. I'm going to send you the I have the translation.
Okay.
Where are you? Where are you? Okay.Okay, this is the deeper meaning of Dharma.
Okay, 那么这个对于 Dharma 的更深奥的，就是更深刻的这个含义是这样的：一些生而有之，而且在任何情况下都无法避免、忽视或否认的特质和品质。
Wow, it might sound very complicated.
对，这听起来好像好复杂。
But if we, with examples, we can understand.
但是呢，如果是给你个例子，我们就能理解了。
Like fire.
比如说火。
Fire emanates light and heat.
那火呢，它就会产生光和热。
Heat and light.Are none different from the fire.
那光和热和火是没有区别的。
Particularly the heat is what we feel the most when we are near the fire.
特别是这个热。那么这个热呢，是我们当很接近火的时候，能够最能够感受到的一种感觉。
So heat is the quality of the fire that you cannot separate from the fire, is an integral part of the fire.
所以说呢，这个热它就是火，天然的这么一部分。所以说呢，是它们整体的一部分，你是不可能把火和热这两件事情给分开的。
If the fire has no heat, then cannot be fire.
因为如果要是火，它要是不能够产生热的话，那也就意味着它根本就不是火。
They are inseparable.
对，它们俩是不能够分开的。
So it's a quality, heat is a quality of the fire, and this is what means dharma. It is part, integral part of the fire. So you could say heat is the dharma of the fire.
所以说呢，这个热它是火，整体的一部分，是不可分割的一部分。所以呢，你就可以说热是火的 dharma。Ashu, are you there?
Another example is water.
那另外一个例子呢是水。
Water is liquid.
水是液体。
So this liquidity is the dharma of the water.
那这个液体它就是水的 dharma。
Means it's an inborn characteristic quality.Of the water, liquidity.
也就是说呢，水它具备的一个天生的这么一个特征就是液体。
So in this way, we can understand that what is the main quality, the main function of the living entity, of the human being.
所以这样的方式呢，我们就可以理解了，作为一个人类的这样一个生物体，它的主要的功能是什么？它的主要的天然的职责是什么
？What's the quality that is all over any human beings all over the planet? They all have one characteristic that is common to all human beings, no matter where you are born.No matter what is your circumstance, no matter what is everybody has this common characteristic.
那么在全宇宙全星宿中的任何一个人类，只要是人，无论他的背景如何，他出生于在什么样的地方，是处在什么样的状态，他都是会有同样的这一个特征。
Is to serve.
这个特征就是服务。
Either you are a mother, either you are a worker, either you are a friend, either you, whenever, no matter what is your position, even the position of the topmost head of a nation, they all have this service characteristic that is inborn in them. They have to offer service to others.
就是无论你是母亲，还是工人，还是政府官员，甚至于你是国家的元首，无论是怎样的一种状态，只要是人，那他都会有这么一个天然的天然的特征，就是他会服务，他总是会服务其他的人。
So we all have this tendency inborn in us. It's a characteristic, it's a quality that is inborn in us, the necessity of render service to others.
所以说呢，每一个人他都天生的就有这么一个特点，有这么一个倾向，就是要去服务其他人。
And this is what Dharma means.Offering duty. Duty means offering service to others. What are our duty? What is our service to others, to parents, to children, to society? What is our service?
那么这也是Dharma, 也就是他的这个职责的深意所在。这个职责的意思呢，就是向其他的人去服务。比如说你能够向其他人去做出什么样的服务呢？你怎么能够去服务你的母亲或者是其他的人呢？
So this is called a temporary dharma.
这被称为叫短暂的 Dharma。
Why is temporary Dharma?
为什么这被称为叫短暂或临时的 Dharma 呢？
Because whatever material situation you are in is a temporary situation.
因为你所处在的任何一个物质的状态，它都是一个短暂而临时的状态。
But while we are in this temporary situation, we have to abide by our particular dharma, a set of rules, a set of service that we have to render to others.
但是呢，当我们处在这个短暂而临时的这种处境中的时候呢，我们就必须要遵守在这个临时的处境中的一些规则和规章和制度。也就是说呢，我们需要按照这个规章和制度去向其他的人去做出服务。
So in a Vedic system, they prescribe a way of dividing the society in classes in order for everyone to know exactly what is their main service in society, main service to others.
所以说呢，在伟达的文化中呢，他就会把这个社会给分成这四个阶段，这个阶层，从而呢，使得每一个人都非常的清晰的自己在这个社会中他应该履行的职责是什么。
And then in order to classify, in order to create this, I say, establish these classes or make very obvious these classes, they don't take in consideration where we are born, what kind of race we are in, or it's not that time, it's not that the criteria to divide people in different classes.
但是呢，并不是根据这个人他是出生在什么样的，就是他是在什么地方出生，或者是什么时间出生，他出生的这种状况是什么，他不是通过这样的他不是通过这些条件来划分社会的阶层的。
It's nothing to do with the color of your skin, your race.
对，这和你的皮肤的颜色还有你的所处在的种族是没有关系的。
It's considering how we are affected by material nature.
而这个呢是和我们如何被物质自然所影响而相关的。
Which mode of nature affects us the most, and according to this, how we are affected by a particular mode, then we belong to a particular class.
那有一个影响我们最深的物质自然属性，那么根据这个物质自然属性对我们所产生的影响，使我们被归于了那个特定的阶层。
So it's not where we are born, it's not our race that distinguishes our class.
对，并不是我们所出生的地点以及我们所在的种族而划分了我们所处在的阶层。
This is a wrong conception that people develop throughout the ages without regard for the Vedic knowledge, and then create the caste system that were very exploitative.
所以呢，人们就在错误的概念下，并没有参考伟达经典的教导下，产生了这种阶级的概念。那这个阶级的概念呢，就使得人们之间相互之间会有剥削。
So people were because they were born in a particular family, they would think that they were qualified to be leaders or be teachers, but they were not qualified according to the influence of the three modes of nature, and then it ended up by just exploiting each other.
所以人们呢就觉得自己因为是出生在某一个家庭之中，所以说呢，他就有资格成为领导或者成为老师，但事实上呢，他是被那种物质自然属性所影响，使得他其实没有资格去做这样的事情。那么其结果呢，就变成了人们之间会相互的剥削。
So that's why we are all affected by material nature in a very particular way.
所以呢，事实上就是我们每一个人都在一种特定的方式下被某一种物质属性所影响。
Some are affected to, mostly by the mood of ignorance.
我们有一些人呢是被愚昧属性占据了主要的影响的。
Yeah, double fender.
大部分人。
Yes. So that's why.Workers, there's a mode of ignorance. Their capacity of serving others is to offer service to all the other class, work for others in exchange of some maintenance, some salary.
比如说工人，他就是被这个愚昧属性所影响，所以说呢，他要做的事情呢，就是要去。服务在这个社会的其他阶层的人，从而呢能够换回一些能够维持他生活的收入。
Some others are very more influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance. There's some ignorance, but there is also some passion.
还有一些人呢，他是被激情属性以及愚昧属性所影响的，所以呢，他是有一些激情属性。而且呢，有一些愚昧属性，两者混合的影响。
So they are good to do business. They are good to produce food, you know, do agriculture work, protect labor animals, you know, like the cows, provide food. They can do these things.
那这样的人呢，他们就比较擅长做生意，而且呢，他们也可以务农，可以蓄养生牧。牲畜，然后从而还可以去进行食物的加工。
So this is their main service.
那这是他们的主要的服务。
Their main work is to provide with the necessities.
那么他们的主要的工作呢，就是要提供生活所需。
And then there are others who are more influenced by the mood of passion.
那还有一些其他的人呢，是主要的被激情属性所影响。
They are good to organize. They are good to manage, to administrate.
所以呢，他们就很擅长于组织，以及管理。
To be leaders.
他们擅长于成为领导。
So that should be their service.
所以呢，这个就应该是他们所应该从事的服务。
And then those who are particularly mostly influenced by goodness, then they can teach. They can give good example to others. They can show the best way to live in this world.
但是那些主要被善良属性所引导的人呢，他们就可以成为老师，他们可以通过自己以身作则的这个榜样去向别人去展示，去教导别人如何在这个世界上生活。
So this influence of the modes of nature is all pervading.In the material world, it's not just for one particular country, one particular race. No, it's for everyone.
对，在全世界，所有的人都是被这个物质自然属性所影响的。这物质自然属性，它不仅仅是会影响某一个国家或某一个人。
So, and Krishna initially in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, for people who are not yet.Awaken to their spiritual understanding, Krishna encouraged people to perform their duties, their occupation, services according to their class in society.
那在《薄伽梵歌》里面 ，Krishna 也说到了，当一个人他还没有在灵性上得到唤醒的时候呢，他们就应该鼓励着在这个物质社会按照他们的。在物质社会所处在的这个阶层去进行相应的服务的活动。
Even if they cannot perform perfectly, they still should perform it, even if it's not perfectly.
那即便是他不能够很完美的去履行他的这些服务，但是呢，他也应该依然去履行这些服务。
Because it's impossible to do anything perfect in this material world.
因为在这个物质世界里面，根本就不可能很完美的去从事每一件事情。
So sometimes we see family man maybe working very hard doing his duty, but still cannot provide enough for the family. He's not at fault. He's doing his duty. He's doing his best. There is some other reasons why he cannot, because nothing is perfect in the society in this world.
比如说，我们会看到有一位居士的男子，他非常的辛苦的在养家赚钱，他很努力的在工作。但是呢，他依然赚不到足够的钱来养活他的家庭，这其实并不是他的错，因为他已经在履行他的职责了。但是因为在这个物质世界，他本来就不是万事完美的，所以呢，还有一些其他的原因导致了他没有办法赚到满意的钱来养家。
You works a lot, but there is no sufficient rain that year, or is some typhoon comes and destroys most of his crops. What can he do? It's beyond his capacity.
比如说，他今年非常辛苦的在劳作，但是呢，这个天气就很不好，而且呢，有很多的台风啊会来，然后台风啊、暴雨啊，这样就会把他所耕种的这个作物呢都给浇坏了。那所以呢，他就变得没有办法有足够的收成。所以这是他不可控的，他又能怎么办呢？
Like a doctor may be very dutiful performing his duties as a doctor, but maybe the patient dies.
那你比如说这个大夫，他也很认真的在从事着他的救治病人的工作，但是这个病人他就死了。
The parents may be very dutiful in educating their children to be very good adults, but then they turn in being bad elements in society, you know, being lazy or being criminals or whatever.
那也许家长他也在很用心的教他的孩子，但是呢，这孩子长大成人之后呢，依然成为了社会的败类，比如说他很懒呢。或者说是一点也不负责任呢、啊、等等。
So Krishna says, every endeavor in this world is covered by some fault, like fire is covered by smoke.
对 Krishna 说呢，在这个社会的任何努力，它其实都是被一些缺点和错误所遮盖的，就好像是烟所遮盖着火一样。
So, but Krishna said, but you should not give up one's work according to our nature.Because even if such work is with faults.
但是 Krishna 就说到了一个人不应该放弃自己的本性所应该从事的职责，即便是在从事这个职责的时候呢是有错的，是有犯错的。
And in the scriptures is also mentioned what Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, apad dharma, or religion in distress, means things that we do, we have to do in times of extraordinary situations.
那在这个要旨里面，释迦牟尼佛他也提到了阿帕达尔玛，那意思呢就是说，我们是会根本在不we do it in very extraordinary
situations. We have to do something emergency work, emergency service, because extraordinary situations.
那也就是说呢，因为就是这种非常卓越超凡的这种状态，使得呢人他也就必须要去从事一些这个非凡的一些活动。
So we are forced to do other things that usually would not do in normal circumstances.
对，那所以说呢，就是我们有的时候呢，就必须要去被强迫着、被迫着去做一些我们超出了我们所处在的这种状况的活动。
Like we are not supposed to eat meat or fish.
比如说，我们本来不应该吃鱼或者吃肉。
This is not the proper food for a civilized human being.
因为这本来就不是文明的人类应该吃的食物。
But in case of the particular extraordinary circumstances where vegetables and fruits and grains are not available, you may have to eat meat and fish.
但是呢，如果要是当处在一种非人的，或者就是当处在一种很极端的一种状态下的时候，比如说没有蔬菜可以找到的这种情况下，所以呢，他就必须得强迫着去吃肉吃鱼。
In general circumstances, we shouldn't do this type of activity, but in extraordinary circumstances, apadharma, then we can do things that are not what is appropriated for us because it's emergency. We have to feed ourselves, for instance.
所以呢，在通常的这种状况下呢，我们是不应该去吃肉或者吃鱼的。但是在极端的状态下，当没有办法找到我们能吃的食物的时候呢，我们也就只能够吃鱼吃肉，因为这么做呢是变得就是我们必须要让自己活下来。首先
means we are not punished by the laws of nature because of doing that because it's an extraordinary situation。
所以呢，当我们在 upper dharma 就是在极端的这种状态下的时候，我们是不会被物质自然的定律所惩罚的。
So far, we have been talking mostly about what duties in this world due to our being conditioned by material existence.
对呢，我们到目前为止呢，讲述的都是我们由于被这个物质的条件所限，在这个物质世界所应该从事的 dharma， 所应该从事的职责。
Means we are conditioned by our particular body we have and the influence of the three modes of nature that is exercising on this particular body.
也就意味着我们在这个特定的这个身体的局限下所要从事的一些活动。
So Krishna encouraged a person to do their duties nicely in this material world, even if there are faults, but he should be dutiful doing his duties and perform their duties. And then gradually, by performing their duties according to Vedic injunctions, they become purified and then they can learn that it is better if somehow they become detached from the fruits of their activities.
所以 Krishna 呢，他就鼓励大家，在这个物质世界，即便是不能够完美的履行自己的职责，即便是在有错的情况下，也应该很好的去履行自己的职责。那么，通过在履行的这个职责的这个过程中，慢慢的就能够学到如何能够变得不依附于这个职责。
At least, not be attached to all the fruits of your work. Offer some of the fruits of your work in gratitude to the gods, to the demigods who provide you for all the things, for all the necessities to live.
至少呢，不会去依附于工作的结果的所有的果实，然后呢，把这些活动的结果的其中的一部分呢，供奉给主或者供奉给这个半神人，从而能够感激他们所给我们提供的这些所需。当然，这些活动呢是根据伟达的训令来从事的活动。
So it's in the Vedic system, people, you know, when they're produce, their agriculture produce or results of their business or their work, they offer first to the demigods or to Vishnu because the first harvest, the first produce, because they know that they are dependent on the sun, they are dependent on the rain, they are dependent on the earth, are dependent on so many things that they cannot produce themselves.
所以说呢，在伟大经典里面呢，就会说，当这个这个作物收成之后呢，第一个收成呢，他们就会把它供奉给半神人，供奉给 Vishnu， 因为他们知道，就是如果要是没有这些阳光啊、雨露啊，没有这些支持的话，他们是不可能自己生出任何的庄稼的。
They offer gratitude is a token show of gratitude for whatever the gifts they have received in life.
那所以这样的做法呢，是为他们在生活中所获得的任何的礼物，致以他们的感激之情。
And then, gradually by doing that, they realize that they become more and more detached, and then eventually they are able to, they understand that they will be more benefited if they give up the attachment for any result of their work. Just keep what they really need to maintain their body and soul together, but everything else offer to the Lord, understanding that the Lord is the one who provides actually for everything.
然后当这么做了以后呢，逐渐的就会变得越来越不依附于所有的这些活动的结果，然后呢，最终他就会变得仅仅是留下自己所需要的那一部分，然后把所有的其他的一切全部都供奉给了主，而且呢，也明白了其实主是所有一切的提供者。
So a year there's already a realization that they are not the material body because of working in that detached manner. Knowledge manifests in their hearts in association with the Brahmanas and hearing the scriptures. They're going to understand the higher knowledge. They have the intelligence to understand the higher knowledge. And why that? Okay, let's go back. Let's rewind it. So by performing detached work, they become situated in the mode of goodness.
首先呢，由于是在不依附的这种状况下去活动，使得它被提升到了善良的形态。
So when they are in a mood of goodness, they can understand more of what the Brahmanas who perform the sacrifices tell them, what they explain about the scriptures. Because in a mood of goodness, there is a higher capacity to learn things.
那由于他是处在善良的形态，所以呢，他就有了更好的能力去了解、去学习事物。所以呢，他就能够更好的了解为什么这些婆罗门们要去进行祭祀，以及这个祭祀的背后的意义是什么。
So they start having a higher understanding of life.
所以呢，他们就开始了，就对于这个生命的意义有了更高深的理解。
And the scriptures and the Brahmanas tell them that we are all spiritual souls. We are not these material bodies.
然后呢，婆罗门还有经典呢，就告诉他们，我们都是灵性的灵魂，我们并不是这物质的躯体。
So in this way, why working just to maintain these bodies if we are actually we are not these bodies, we are spiritual souls.
所以呢，就会在想，既然我们不是这物质的躯体，而且呢是灵性的灵魂，那我们就为什么要只是为了维系这个躯体而活动？
So they start understanding that. They can actually by becoming detached from the results of their work, they can be qualified for liberation.
而且呢，他们也开始明白了，就是在不依附的情况下去活动，使得自己慢慢有了得到解脱的资格。
And liberation means no more sufferings, no more births, no more death, old age, disease, no more of such things.
那解脱也就意味着不会再有苦痛，不会再有生老病死的轮回了。
So this becomes their main interest.
然后这个呢，就变成了他们主要感兴趣的事情。
To become free from material existence.
也就是说呢，希望让自己能够摆脱物质的存在。
So at that stage, they can give up their temporary dharma.
所以在这样的层面下的时候呢，他就可以放弃他的短暂的 dharma.
Because they have understood what is the purpose of life.
因为他们已经理解了生命的目的是什么。
So if at that stage, or even previously, they have the good fortune of having the association with devotees.
那所以说呢，在这样的这个状态下呢，他其实是有好运气，因为他可以得到和奉献者的联谊。
No, if they have the good fortune to have the association of devotees at this stage or even previously, it's not because they're at that stage they're going to have the association of devotees.
Yeah. 那么在这样的一个状态下，就是在这个层面下，如果他要是有好运气，能够和奉献者联谊。
Or even previously to that stage, if they have the association with devotees.
如果是在这之前，甚至于在他还没有达到这个状态之前，他有和奉献者联谊的好运气。
Most of us, we were not at the stage of hankering for liberation when we met the association, when you got the association of devotees.
比如说我们大部分的人呢，就是根本就还没有渴望着想要得到解脱的这种状态的时候，我们就已经得到了和奉献者的联谊。
But the fact is that by the association of devotees, a person who is already detached from the fruits of his actions, and then start practicing devotions, start acting only for the pleasure of Krishna, so he becomes engaged in pure devotional service.
那这事实上呢，就是说，当一个人他已经不再依附于他所活动的结果的时候，那么这会儿他和奉献者联谊之后呢，他就愿意去从事奉爱服务，他只是想要去从事这个奉献服务了。
So instead of pursuing liberation, they pursue a higher goal. They want to become pure devotees of the Lord.
所以在这会儿呢，他其实并不是想着要得到解脱，他希望能够追寻更高的目标。他希望能够就是去服务主，以这样的目标。
And this is the most natural situation.
而这个呢，是最自然的、最天然的状态。
That's why Srila Prabhupada, right from the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, the common religion or dharma for all classes of human beings, regardless of what, whosoever and whatsoever one may be, is devotional service.
所以就为什么在这个要旨的最开始的时候，Srila Prabhupada就说，无论一个人是谁，是什么人，人类社会各阶层的人士的共同宗教都是做奉爱服务。
Because the tendency, that natural tendency to serve is coming, is there in the soul itself.
因为呢，就是天然的要服务的这种倾向，它是处于灵魂本身的。
It's part of the soul. It's not part of the body. The body is just a cloth for the soul. It's part of the soul.
所以呢，它是处于灵魂本身的，它是灵魂的一部分，它并不是躯体的一部分。躯体它不过是灵魂的一件衣服。
This is the nature of the soul is that it needs to serve.
所以作为灵魂的本性就是它有要服务的需求。
But when the soul is conditioned by material body, then our service related to the material body and the circumstances our material bodies are in.
但是呢，当我们的灵魂它被限制在这具物质的躯体里的时候呢，这会儿它要做的这个服务呢，就和这个躯体以及和受限的这个躯体的外围的这个情况相关来做的这样的服务，和它相关的这些服务。
But the original service is devotional service.
但是最原初的服务呢是奉爱服务。
Service to Krishna, because our identity is that we are eternal spiritual souls, servants of Krishna. This is our constitutional position.
所以说呢，是服务 Krishna， 因为我们最天然的状态，最天然的位置就是我们是 Krishna 不可分割的一部分，我们是 Krishna 永恒的仆人。
So no matter what is our situation in the material world, if we receive in the what kind of body we have, what kind of circumstance you have, what kind of society, etc., no matter what is our situation in this material world, if we have the association of devotees, then we can understand that our real service, our real dharma, our real duty is to Krishna, service to Krishna.
对，那无论我们处在怎样的条件限制的状态之下，但是如果我们要是遇到了奉献者的话呢，我们就能够理解到我们天然的身份是，就是我们天然的状态是要服务，而且是服务 Krishna 的，我们是 Krishna 的仆人。
And this is our eternal duty.
而这个呢，是我们的永恒的职责。
Sanatana Dharma or Sat Dharma. This is the duty that is related to the soul, and the soul is eternally connected in loving service to the Lord.
所以呢，这被称为叫 Sat Dharma 或者是 Sanatana Dharma， 也就是说呢，这是灵魂它永恒的职责。它这是它的永恒的职责。Actually, the rain bells ring. That's why it's so loud. Can I go to the panel?
Is it raining? Is it raining there?
Sorry, 不好意思，不好意思。所以呢，就是
raining in Beijing.
Yes, Beijing is raining an earthquake. I was told.
Oh, okay.
所以说呢，这个永恒的职责，他就告诉我们，我们呢是。Krishna 的不可分割的一部分，然后我们是 Krishna 的仆人。
So this is our constitutional position to be eternal servants of Krishna. So our eternal duty is devotional service to Krishna.
所以呢，这就告诉了我们是 Krishna 的仆人，而我们永恒的这个职责呢，就是要去服务 Krishna， 是 Krishna 的仆人。
So this is the highest form of dharma.
那所以说呢，这是最高的形式的 dharma.
And this is the duty, is the activity that gives us completely happiness.
而这样的这种职责呢，它就会让我们变得完全的快乐。
Not just.
Sorry. The second layer of the rain. Sorry. 对不起大家。
Okay.
抱歉 ，Sorry, I'll run back. Sorry.
Okay. So when you become situated in this Sanatan Dharma, pure devotional service, then other duties we may still perform them, you know, as much as we can, but the most important, it becomes our duty to Krishna, our duties to things directly connected with Krishna.
所以说呢，当我们理解了我们的 Sanatana Dharma， 我们永恒的职责之后呢，那我们也许还是再会去履行我们其他的职责，物质职责。但是与此同时，我们就会认为我们最主要的需要去履行的这个职责，就是去服务 Krishna。我们要去履行的这个 Sanatana Dharma。
And we perform the other duties, whatever duties we have related with our material bodies, we perform them.But the results we offer to Krishna.
而且呢，和我们的物质的状况相连的其他的那些物质的职责，我们是会去履行它们。但是呢，我们会把这个履行的职责的结果供奉给 Krishna.
So we still have many duties due to our material situation, being in a particular society. We perform those duties. But we perform those duties to always having in mind that the goal of life is to please Krishna.
所以说呢，我们由于在社会上所处在的这种状态，导致了我们有各种各样的物质的职责需要去履行。但是呢，当我们再去履行这些职责的时候呢，我们始终都要记着一件事情，就是我们的这些职责也是为了 Krishna 而履行的。
So if you don't know, if you are not sure how to perform your duty in a Krishna conscious way, then you have to ask your spiritual master or those who are acting as your spiritual masters.
所以如果你要是不知道如何在 Krishna 知觉之中去履行你的物质职责的话，那你就需要去询问你的灵性导师，或者说是那些在你身边作为你的灵性导师的那些奉献者们。
So means you have to understand, because sometimes devotees tend to be very, very detached from their material duties.
因为有的时候呢，奉献者他就会非常的弃离于他的物质的职责。
But this is not what Krishna tells us to give up. Krishna tells us to give up the attachment to the fruits of our actions.
但是 Krishna 他并没有要让我们放弃我们的物质职责，他告诉我们要放弃的是对于我们的物质职责的结果的依附心。
We continue performing our material duties because we have to.But we don't need to be too absorbed in them. We absorb ourselves in our sanatana duties, our eternal duties. That's where we absorb ourselves. Other things we do, try to do as best as we can in relation to our family, society. You try to do everything very nicely. But our hearts we put in our main duty in life, which is service to Krishna and things and persons connected with Krishna.
所以呢，我们依然还是要去履行我们的物质职责，因为这是我们需要去做的事情。但是呢，我们不需要让自己沉醉于其中的去做这些事情，因为我们需要让自己沉醉在 Sanatana Dharma 永恒的职责的这个活动之中。但是呢，当我们再去但是我们在履行我们的物质职责的时候，比如说照顾我们的家庭，我们去工作的时候呢，我们也是要尽量的出色的去把它给做好，但是呢，不要让自己的心在其中。
But do your duties nicely, don't be neglectful.
对，但是呢，要很好的去完成自己的职责，而不要在忽视的心不在焉的状态下去做。
This is what most people who don't understand what the devotees do, they criticize the devotees because they became very neglectful of their social duties.
但是就是人们有的时候呢就不太理解，而且呢有的时候奉献者他们就会被人家觉得我们是忽视了我们的社会的职责，而没有去认真的去履行我们的社会职责。
Of course, certain things we should not do, but most of the things we can do, but without attachment to the results.
但是呢，就是我们在就是我们在做，在有一些事情我们是不能做的，但是呢，我们大部分的职责我们是需要去履行的，但是呢，我们在履行的时候呢，是出于不依附于职责的结果去从事这些职责。
You just do out of duty, you know, for, you know, try to satisfy our family members the best as we can. But our hearts should be there in Krishna and the devotees.
所以呢，我们要尽力而为的去履行我们的职责，要履行我们的家庭的职责。但是我们的心是和 Krishna 以及和奉献者在一起的。
Srila Prabhupada gives a very good example.
Srila Prabhupada 就给了我们一个非常好的例子。
It's like a lady who is married and has a family, but she has a lover.
就像是一个已婚的女子，她有家，有丈夫，但是呢，她有一个情人。
So at home, she performs her duties to her husband, to her family, very, very nicely. She speaks very sweet words. She takes care of the house very nice, cooks very nice, does everything very nice. So the husband is satisfied and does not suspect that actually she has a lover.
那在家里面呢，她是非常尽心尽力地去履行她在家的职责。她会和大家说非常甜美的话，然后呢，她也会烹煮非常味美的食物，很好的照顾每一个家人，然后以至于呢，她的丈夫对她的这个服务就非常的满意，根本就不会怀疑她在外面还有情人。
But where her heart is absorbed, she is just absorbed in thoughts of her lover.
但是她的心在哪里呢？她的心就沉醉在对于她的爱人的冥想之中。
Okay, this is an example not to be followed by any of you.
那这个例子呢，大家可不要去效仿。
But it's just to make you understand the point.
但是呢，讲这个例子呢，只是为了让我们理解到这一点。
We can perform everything very nicely for the pleasure of our family members, but our hearts are absorbed in Krishna.
就是我们可以非常好的履行我们的家庭职责，去照顾好我们的家人，但是与此同时呢，我们的心是沉醉在 Krishna 的身上的。
So we are not attached to the results of our material duties.
所以呢，我们不会去依附于
You should not become.
我们不应该去依附我们的物质职责的结果。
But we should not neglect them either.
但是呢，我们也不能忽视对我们的物质职责心不在焉。
That's why we have to practice our sadhana bhakti very, very nicely, privately, very nicely.So our hearts become saturated with thoughts of Krishna, with feelings about Krishna.
这就是为什么在私下呢，我们要非常的高质量的去完成我们的 sadhana， 这样的话才能够使我们的内心饱和着对 Krishna 的冥想，对 Krishna 的思念。
So even if you are in a very awkward material type of situation,By performing nice sadhana bhakti, even if the time given to it is not so long, but if you really give quality time to the practice of sadhana bhakti, like chanting, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, things like that, then gradually become so purified, and eventually Krishna will make an arrangement for a better situation for us.
就即便是我们处在一个非常的不顺心的物质条件的环境里，但如果我们要是真的很有质量的去完成我们的 sadhana， 然后也很认真的去阅读经典，去聆听舒拉帕帕的，就是去看舒拉帕帕的书，去聆听讲课，然后和奉献者联谊的话，那么逐渐的 Krishna 就会帮助我们，并且呢帮助我们提升我们外在的这个很艰难的状态。
So, this is our duty. We have to be careful of our temporary external duty. We still do it as best as we can, but our absorption should be on things related with our Sanatana Dharma, with our eternal duty to Krishna, devotional, loving devotional service.
所以说呢，这就是我们的职责。那一方面呢，我们要继续的去履行我们的物质职责，而且呢，也不应该忽视他们。但与此同时呢，在我们的内心中，我们要通过我们的 sadhana， 通过我们的修习，来很好的让自己沉醉在我们的 sanatana dharma 对 Krishna 的服务之中。
And by acting in that way, gradually, we are preparing ourselves to go back home, back to Krishna.
因为我们如果要是以这样的方式去行事的话呢，那逐渐的我们就让自己做好了回到 Krishna 身边，回到我们应该在的家园的准备。
Okay, we stop here, and if there is any question or comments, you are much welcome.
OK， 那现在讲课这部分就到这儿了。如果大家有任何的问题或有任何的评述的话呢，非常欢迎大家能够发上来。So the first question is from 花环 Mataji。Hare Krishna， 顶白阿叔，顶白大家。如果身体很差的时候，可以吃肉喝汤，可以吃肉喝汤补补身体吗？ Hare Krishna， please accept my very humble obeisances and also my very humble obeisances to everyone。So my question is that when the physical situation is in a very poor condition, if it's okay to drink some balls, some, you know, meat soup, and also take some meat to give the replenishment to the situation?
No, you can find in vegetables, grains and beans, you can find all the necessary nutrition for the body. You don't need to eat meat in order to nourish your body, even if your body is very weak.
其实可以在谷物里面，可以在蔬菜里面找到所有的营养身体的，这个滋养身体的营养。所以说呢，不需要吃肉，即便是在这个身体很差的情况下，也是不需要吃肉的。
Particularly in grains.Grains and milk products, you find all the nutrients for to have a good body, to be in good health.
特别是在谷物里面以及在牛奶里面，在这里面能够找到各种营养滋养身体的营养物质。
But on the other side, if you are taking medicine and only available medicine you have to treat your disease.It's a medicine where some animal products are inside. Never mind, just take it.
但是如果从另外一个角度来讲，就是，如果你因为要治疗身体所吃的这个唯一的这个药里面有肉的成分的话，那也没有办法，那就只能够去吃这剂药，有肉的药。
If you don't have any other medicine as good as that, then just take that medicine.
如果是没有其他的更好的药物的选择的话，那就只能吃这个药了。
But to nourish the body, you don't need eat meat or fish because Krishna has created these human bodies to be maintained with food without having to take animal food. These bodies are made in such a way that they can function, they are nourished, and they get the strength just by taking vegetables, grains, and beans, and milk products. No problem.
但是呢，就是不需要吃鱼和肉来滋养身体，因为 Krishna 他在创造这个人的这具躯体的时候，他就已经使得从植物从谷物从豆类还有从牛奶这些食物中已经足够的有这个营养成分可以滋养人类的这个躯体的形式了所以呢是不需要从鱼肉这些食物中去获得营养来滋养这具身体的
Okay, next, any other questions?
Yeah, there was no more question for now but can I ask a further question based on this question?
Yes
因为我们现在还没有看到其他的奉献者的问题啊，那所以呢，我就追着花环妈子这个问题问一个。Just now you mentioned that in grains and also in the milk there are enough of the nutrients to provide this body. But right now, you know, there are some of the philosophies about discard the grains. There were lots of people, they are preaching the idea of not eating the grains because in the grains there were this and that kind of negativities to the health. Actually, there were a lot of materialistic, the way they give up the grain, just like the devotees give up the fish and the meat. So could you say something about that? And also among the devotees,Some of the devotees, they say that they only eat the Ekadasi meal. They just don't want to touch the grains at all. It seems that the grains have some of the dispute about the pros and cons.
Well, sorry, please allow me to translate.
就是关于刚才因为阿叔说呢 牛奶和谷物里面有为我们身体提供的所有的这些营养所需。但是现在好像谷物是很有争议的一种食品，那么很多物质主义者呢，他们放弃吃谷物的这种心思，就好像我们奉献者要放弃吃鱼肉蛋这样的这种心思一样。然后咱们奉献者呢，也有很多奉献者就说呢，我们只吃爱卡达西餐，就看起来这谷物好像它是有一些争议的。所以呢，我想请阿叔来给我们讲一讲这给谷物说说到底它都有哪些好处。阿叔 please finish。
Sometimes, are you connected?
Yes, yes,
sometimes, yes. Sometimes, yes, the grains may become, the grains may have so many chemicals that pollute them, and then there's a concern that affects one's health because you get all this chemicals that they use to produce them, so devotees tend to stay away from them. Or some devotees, for instance, they eat only what is certified organic, means without any use of these chemicals that are very detrimental to health.
Okay. 那就是谷物在加工的过程中呢，是有很多的化学物质是被加进来的，这样才能够把这个谷物给加工好。那所以呢，奉献者有的时候就觉得，由于这个化学物质在这里面的影响呢，使得这个谷物它就会对这个身体有很大的伤害力，所以呢，他就尽量会避免。或者有很多奉献者他就会吃完全的有机的谷物。
So if you can find a more natural grown grains is better. Otherwise, if you have some replacement for grains, like devotees find some replacements like quinoa, apparently replace some of the ingredients of the grains without being a grain itself. So it can help if people, but you have to have sufficient nourishment. You cannot just live on vegetables without grains, because without have anything that has that nourishment of the grains, you don't keep a good health. Very difficult.
Okay. 但是呢，就是如果要是我们能够找到更高质量的谷物，就很好。如果是能够这样做的话，很好。而且还有的时候呢，奉献者他可能会找到一些来代替谷物的一些食品，比如说像藜麦，但是如果要是我们只是依靠蔬菜来吃饭，就是只是依靠绿色植物来滋养我们的身体的话，那这会儿营养是不够的。就我们的确是需要从谷物中去获得营养。
So you have to see that.
Yeah. 所以呢，我们 So in another word, grain is necessary.
Grains or what the ingredients of the grains are necessary for the body. The body, human body subsists on grains.
所以说呢，就是我们在吃饭的时候一定要注意，就是谷物对我们来说是很重要的，因为呢，在它里面有营养成分，它要来支撑我们的这个身体的营养。So the next
question.
Yeah, the next question from 刚刚雅穆纳玛特吉，顶拜阿叔。顶拜主持和翻译，请问我们能食用酵素吗？ Please accept my humble obeisances to you and also the host and the translator. So, do you know the miso?
Enzymes.
Yeah, the miso is that. Yeah, and she is asking that if it's okay for us to use that.
Miso, how you translate that? What is that exactly?
Okay, miso is that people use fruits. I use fruit and ginger and whatever the things
to make it fermented and and create a seed. It's tolerated, but understand that this is in a mode of ignorance. It's not that it's harmful or you break the principles, but it's not something that you can offer to Krishna, first of all. Is very much in a mode of ignorance, so can affect, in that sense, can put you more in, but if it's a good thing for your health, you can take it. It does not really break the principles.
OK， 那么这酵素呢，首先呢，因为它是经过长期发酵的，所以说呢，它是处于预备形态的这种食物，这种物品。但是呢，如果它要是为了我们的健康而使用的话呢，我们是可以使用它的，但是不能够把它供奉给 Krishna。但是呢，并不会因为使用了它，所以我们就打破了原则。
Okay, next question.
Yeah, the next question from Chaitanya Charan Das. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. Hare Krishna, 顶拜阿叔和奉献者们，我们既要履行物质责任，又要履行灵性的责任，感觉压力山大，生活一团糟，怎样平衡这两种责任呢？ Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances and all the devotees. And all the devotees also, accept the pay my humble obeisances. Then my question is that we need to perform our material duties and we also need to perform our spiritual duties. I just feel there is a very high burden from doing both of them and that make my life quite in a mess. So how to really in a good balance for both of these two duties?
First of all, you have to really keep some good spiritual devotional practice. This is essential because this is what is going to give you the boost in your life and the intelligence to understand how to balance things.
那首先呢，您要很好的去履行您的物质灵性上的职责。那这个是生活的核心，是非常重要的。因为当你很好的去进行了您灵性的这个休息之后呢，他就能够赐你智慧，并且呢给你动力，然后呢让你能够更好的了解如何去进行你的生活上的平衡。
Like in your case, chanting 16 rounds of japa, very attentive, and reading Srila Prabhupada's books. If you do these things, minimal things, then Krishna naturally will give you the intelligence to balance things and see where you can give more attention than others.
那所以比如说像您来说呢，就如果您要是非常的专注的念了十六圈，并且很好的阅读了Srila Prabhupada的书籍，那就这两件非常基础的这个事情如果是做得很好的话呢，那么 Krishna 他就能够给您智慧，然后呢让您更好的去了解如何的去平衡好其他的这些事情。
So the thing is that we have to have a minimum of a practical sadhana that is accepted, particularly if you are initiated. You know, you have a minimum that you have to perform. So if you don't perform that, then certainly your life is going to be a mess. That's obvious.
所以说呢，特别是如果您现在已经是启迪了的话呢，您就必须要去完成您最基本需要完成的这些sadhana。那如果要是这个要是完成的不是很好的话呢，那也就很显然你的生活一定是会处在一团糟的状态的。
Okay, next question.
The next question from Sumukhi Radha Madhaji, 顶拜阿叔，感谢翻译和主持人。关于平衡物质与灵性的职责，请问您能给我们一些具体的重要的具体的建议吗？比方说我们即便是全职做奉爱服务都觉得24小时不够用。如果想要把物质职责做得很棒也是一样的，但是时间精力如此有限，这个尺度应该怎么去掌握呢？对于奉献者给的仁慈服务机会如何取舍？对于物质的职责怎样点到即止不会被琐事缠身呢？阿叔 please accept my humble obeisances and thanks for the translator and also the host. In terms of the balance of the material and spiritual duties, could you give us a little bit more specific suggestions about how to do it? For example, even we are in the full-time dedicated for the devotional service, we still feel 24 hours is too limited. We don't have enough time to do everything, handle everything well. So if we want to excellently to perform our material duty, actually that is also the same time consuming. But we do have the limited time and energy. So what is the right way to really manipulate these two things in a balanced way? And also, for the mercy, what we collected from the devotee, in another word, for the services they are giving us to do, how can we be wise enough to accept or reject the project? I mean, the services or requirement from the devotee. And also for the material duties, how can we be intelligently enough to do the duty but not be entrapped by all kinds of troubles?
Well, this is a type of situation that all devotees encounter.
那么这其实是所有的奉献者都在面对的问题。
And sometimes can be overwhelming, yes.
而且有的时候呢，确实是挺让我们难以把持的。
But you have to at least set up the priorities first.
但是呢，至少我们应该让自己设立好什么是我们应该先做的事情。
You have to chant your rounds.
比如说呢，你必须要念诵。
You have to read Srimad Bhagavatam.
你必须要阅读圣典波迦瓦坛。
Just don't impose yourself too much of these things, because don't start, okay, if I chant more rounds, well, I'll be a bit more purified, so I'm going to chant 25 rounds every day. I'm going to read 2 hours Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And then you find yourself, you have hard time to do everything. But if the minimum is followed, then remember, in an act of devotion, you mentioned about being moderate. Don't accept in your practice of sadhana or service more than you can do it. Realistically do it.
Yeah, 但是呢，不要强迫自己去做一些事情。比如说，你每天要最基本的是要完成自己的念诵以及阅读一些舍尔帕巴的书籍。但你不要强迫自己说 ，OK， 我今天要念，我每天都要念25圈，然后呢，我每天都要读2个小时的舍尔帕巴的书籍。那么当强迫自己去这么做的时候呢，就会发现自己完全是搞不定的，而且呢，就会觉得很抓狂。然后我们要记得睡了 Rupa Goswami 在奉爱的甘露里面告诉我们要保持中道，就是呢，我们要在我们力所能及的范围内去履行我们能够履行的最基本的职责。
So yes, you have to do the minimal, whatever minimal we have to do in our sadhana. Do it, but do it nicely. Give it quality time, focus on whatever we have to do, because that's where intelligent to balance everything else comes from.
所以呢，我们要非常的专注的、高质量的去完成我们必须要完成的最基本的事情。那我们之所以要这么好的、很好质量的去完成这些事情的原因呢，是因为这是我们得到智慧的源泉。
So you have to give first priority to a good sadhana. It's the most important.
所以说呢，就是最重要的一件事情呢，就是要先把自己的很好的 sadhana 完成，因为这是最重要的。
So try to focus on that first, and then naturally, Krishna will help you to make the necessary adjustments.
然后呢，就是先尽力而为的完成这件事情。之后呢 ，Krishna 他就会帮助你去进行整合和平衡。
Very important, and if devotees can do, or at least can try to do. It can help everyone a lot, is to go to bed earlier, so you can wake up earlier before you have too many things to do. You can do a very good practice of sadhana in very early hours, and you will get extremely benefited from that.
Go to bed is so hard.就是阿叔说呢，就是所有的奉献者应该努力做的一件事情呢，就是我们应该尽量的早睡，应该尽量的早睡， 因为呢，当我们在尽量的早睡的这种情况下，才能保证我们在这个很早的时候起来。那么在清晨起来以后呢，我们就能够把所有的这个事情做好，就是在我们在去处理其他的物质那些事情之前呢，我们就可以先把我们灵性上的这个责任做好，而且呢，这是很高的质量去完成我们的灵性的休息的这个时间。
If you want to give the utmost, the best benefit to your, best result to your sadhana, you have to do this.
所以说呢，如果你要是想得到你的 sadhana 的最好的结果的话，就必须得这么做。
Because first, going to bed earlier gives you a best quality sleep.
首先呢，如果你要是早睡的话呢，它是可以给你最高质量的睡眠。
The best hours for deep sleep is before 1 o'clock in the morning.
那所以呢，就是最高质量的深度睡眠的时间呢，是在清晨一点钟以前。
Means you can get the most of your sleep without sleeping as much.
那也就是说呢，就是你可以在短时间内得到最高质量的睡眠，就可以缩短睡眠的时间，但是得到很好的质量的睡眠。
Every hour before 1 o'clock in the morning, every hour of sleep is worth 2 hours of sleep after 1 hour.
那么就是在这个凌晨一点钟以前睡眠的这些时间，它所得到的这个质量呢，都是翻倍的。就是一个小时等同于睡了两个小时的量，比这个一点钟以后睡觉的时间。
Srila Prabhupada always told his disciples to go to bed early before 10 o'clock so they could wake up at 4 o'clock and start their morning program by 4:30.
所以呢，Srila Prabhupada总是在鼓励他的奉献者呢，一定要在十点钟以前休息。然后这样的话呢，才能够在四点钟的时候起床，这样才能够参加四点半的清晨的仪式。
So sometimes devotees cannot do that because of the nature of their work. They just can't do that. But oftentimes they can, but they don't.
有的时候呢，奉献者由于自己的工作，但是呢，大部分的是由于有这么一个要晚睡的坏习惯，所以呢，他就不早。
So you have to, bad habits can be changed, can be rectified.
所以说呢，这个坏习惯是可以更正的。
If there is a will, there is a way.
有志者。事竟成。
So if you have a will to improve your sadhana, to make have a good sadhana that will not even interfere in your daily work that you have, then you have to go to bed early, to wake up early, and your sadhana when nothing else has to be done besides just chanting and hearing about Krishna.
所以说呢，就是在你的就是你必须得这个早一些休息，那这样的话呢，就是你能够很早的起来之后呢，在你从事其他的活动之前，你就可以先完成你自己的很高质量的聆听和念诵的这个 sadhana。
So if sadhana is a priority, then you get the necessary intelligence to harmonize everything else.
如果是把 sadhana 它当成了你的重中之重的一件事情，先做好了之后呢，你这会儿你就能够很好的、很和谐的去完成其他的那些事情了。
Okay, next question.
The next question from 开心 Hare Krishna, 感恩阿叔、顶巴阿叔和奉献者们。奉献者们因为身体问题受到困扰，如果开心如果奉献者们愿意。我可以帮助你们，因为我做了养生十多年，曾经就是因为我的身体虚脱到了极致，期间多次几乎面临死亡，求医无果的情况下没办法，后来自己通过学习中医各种养生拯救了自己，然后我的工作也是养生，这些年我一直在朋友圈里宣扬
养生的知识和食疗的方法，其中就包括素食养生法在内。我也是在身体最差的时候开始全素食的，但是身体却越来越好了，根本就不会像你们认为的吃素身体虚，要吃肉来补充营养这一说法。而且呢，我已经宣扬养生多年，我身边有朋友，包括我的顾客朋友们都有很多的受益。所以如果大家愿意，我可以把这些方法分享给大家。Hare Krishna. Actually, Ashu, this is the comments from Mataji here. And she is saying Hare Krishna, thank you Ashu, and also please accept my humble obeisances to you and also the devotees. And many of the devotees are bothered by the physical issues. And if you're willing, I can help you, because I'm already in the nourishing and replenishing area for more than 10 years. And I used to be in a very, very poor, weak physical situation. And there were many of the times I was on the verge of death. And none of the medical solutions can solve my problem. And later I started to study the traditional Chinese medication in that way to rescue myself. And my job is also related with nourishing and replenishing. So I also shared this way and method with my friends in my moments area of my WeChat. And this is including about how to taking the vegetarian meal to improve the health situation. There was nothing about eating the meat to gain the nutrition. So that is not the way. Because still taking the vegetarian meal, you do can feel better and better, stronger and stronger. So she's saying that if you're willing, then maybe you can contact me and I can help you and I can share my method with you.
So those devotees out there, we have difficulty about that, about their health, and they think that they need any more projects, so they can contact this Mataji and get some useful tips.
所以说呢，在聆听这节课的奉献者们，如果要是大家听到了刚才开心Mataji所说的这些话，要是感到受益的话，觉得有帮助的话呢，那么我们就可以和这位Mataji联系，然后呢得到他的一些帮助。
Okay.
Actually, do you still want to get the next one? Still the last one?
One more.
Okay. 现在咱们再回答最后这个问题了。花环妈的姐的问题，再次顶白阿叔。现在市面上很难买到健康的牛奶，都是各种添加剂和防腐剂。我想去牛场运输牛奶到城镇出售，请问我可以做这个服务吗？很多人没有喝牛奶的意识，我可以大胆的去宣传牛奶的好处吗？Please accept my very humble obeisances to you one more time. Right now, it's very hard to get the very healthy and safe milk in the market because all the milks are added with the preservatives and additives. So I want to go to the Goshala to ship the milk back to the town. Do you think it's possible for me to do the service? And also, right now, not many people has the sense about the benefits from drinking the milk. So do you think it's okay for me to boldly preach the benefit of the milk?
Yes, it is.
可以。
Because milk is the only substance that can really nourish your finer tissues in the brain.
因为这个牛奶它是唯一的，就牛奶中它有唯一的物质，它可以去滋养我们大脑里的纤维。
But we cannot utilize the milk raw. You have to boil it.
但是呢，你不能生喝牛奶，这个牛奶它是必须要煮过的。
Raw milk is for the calves, not for human beings. Human beings have to eat milk that has been boiled, otherwise can create problems.
这个生牛奶呀是给小牛犊喝的，不是给人喝的。这人呢，他在喝牛奶的时候，这牛奶是一定要煮过的，要煮沸的，否则的话它是会有问题的。
So be very, very aware of this.
所以呢，一定要意识到这一点。
But it's very nice that a devotee could get a very good, good, healthy milk. Yes.
但是呢，如果是奉献者能够得到很健康的牛奶的话，是非常好的，很好。
Okay, thank you, thank you everybody for your questions.
非常感谢大家的问题。
Thank you everybody for listening.
非常感谢大家的聆听。
A special thank you to Sati and Anakeli Mataji for sparing us this time for association.
然后也很感谢 Sati Mataji 还有 Anakeli 能够为我们安排出这个时间来进行这样的联谊。
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.Hari, Hari,
Hari, Bo, Ashoki Jai. 百昆台之音，服务源于聆听。各位尊敬的奉献者，那我们今天的早课呢就到此结束了。非常非常感恩 Krishna Baladev Prabhu， 我们敬爱的阿叔为我们的精彩讲述以及为所有的问题的耐心解答。谢谢萨利玛给我们安排的这样的一个好的平台，感恩所有的奉献者的聆听。深深的顶拜大家，祝大家在 Krishna 知觉之中度过一个美妙的周日。Hare Krishna。